The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Nick Watt. With the local elections taking place today, we've decided to postpone Politics Weekly till tomorrow. Immediately after the London mayoral results are announced on Friday afternoon, Jackie Ashley will bring you a programme from City Hall. Also, Guardian Daily will have a local election special, available as usual from 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. But until then, here's John Dennis with a preview programme.
Today is a genuine electoral test for the government and for the opposition parties. Labour will hope to improve on their dismal showing in 2004 when they came third behind the Lib Dems in terms of the share of the vote. For the Conservatives, if they win the London mayoralty, they'll hail it as their biggest electoral breakthrough since 1997. The Guardian's political columnist Michael White says we should remember that the parties have been attempting to manage our expectations.
Well, they do matter. Local elections always matter. Locally, of course, they matter because it matters who empties your dustbins and runs your school system and keeps the local police force up to the mark. Many things. And people like us sitting in Westminster are always in danger of forgetting that. But it matters in the big picture, too, because it's the first head-on electoral contest between David Cameron and Gordon Brown. Let's not forget the other chap. What's he called? Nick Clegg. And this is the election, of course, which didn't take place last October. And for both, it's pretty important. Whether or not we'll get a clear result, that's a different question, but it's important.
Will the picture be the same in the north, where there are local regional elections going on, of course, and in London and the south?
Well, I think it's going to be patchy. The Tories feel they're doing quite strongly in the south. For David Cameron, it's a big challenge to make some sort of impact in the north. They're barely represented, if at all, in some of the big cities. When I was in Liverpool, they said we hope to get a seat or two back in Liverpool, but the big story in Liverpool is, will Labour be able to topple the Lib Dem controlling group into NOC, as they call it, no overall control? South West is interesting. Tory Lib Dem battle there. Tories coming back a bit. Don't forget UKIP and the BNP. BNP fielding 600 candidates, Greens about 700, UKIP a bit fading. And don't forget also that Wales is an all-out election in all 22 unitary councils in the Principality. All-out, I mean that all the councillors are out for re-election, not just one-third, which is the position in most English authorities. That could be completely different as well, because it's not a three-way fight there, it's a four-way fight. Plaid Cymru is hoping to do Labour damage in its heartlands in the South Wales Valleys, which is sacrilege if you're old Labour. Labour is hoping to take a council or two back from the Plaid and the Liberals.
Looking at how we might read these results, for Labour, I mean, the forecasts have been so dire, it'll be a good result for Gordon Brown if his party wins anything at all.
Well, people tend to exaggerate them. And the parties, it's not just the media, the parties try to massage expectations. It's a bit like results in the city, where the big money corporation tips the newspaper reporters off that they expect to lose $1 billion this year. When they only lose $500 million, everyone says brilliant results. It's a bit like that with politics, so that there are places where Labour will make gains, and on some accounts they might even make net gains, though I doubt it. On the other hand, 2004 elections were very sticky for Tony Blair. It was just when the Iraq war was going badly wrong, and so not a good result that year. So Labour has the advantage, if I can call it that, of starting from a low base. It's a point others have made. For David Cameron, well, the opposite is true. You know, they did pretty well last time, and they might not do as well to improve it dramatically, a couple of hundred seats or so, this time. Either way, they'll all spin the results to their convenience. And let's not forget the other chap, Nick Clegg, because he's a new leader too. And he could be squeezed by both rivals in a funny way.
Will the Conservatives be disappointed now if Boris Johnson doesn't win London?
Well, you pay your money and you take your choice. I've had politicians sidle up to me in the last few days, and so have my colleagues, saying, "Whoa, we've got it in the bag," say the Tories, and "Woohoo, you'll be amazed who's turning out to work for Ken. They really can't stand the idea of Boris being mayor," say people on the Labour side, that the Lib Dem Brian Pellick serves as a second vote bank for the two big players. I think his supporters understand that. And I wouldn't bet very much of my pension on this one at all.
And Mike, I hope hope you don't mind me asking this, but in the Times earlier this week, columnist Tim Hames suggested that Gordon Brown could do worse than ask yourself to become his political fixer. He says he's got a there's a vacancy in number 10 in the advice that he's getting, and that you might be able to help him.
That article by Dr. Tim Hames, formerly of Oxford University, a very clever chap, so I was flattered. I think it was kindly meant, and that he just thought, Gordon needed to cheer up a bit. And who better to cheer him up than me? The tragic fact is that Gordon has barely exchanged more than six words at a time with me for several years now. I don't know what I did to upset him, but I try not to keep awake at night worrying about it.
And do you think there'll be a post-election reshuffle?
The general sensible view, which, if Gordon were consulting me, obviously he's not, as I've explained, would be don't go in for panic reshuffles immediately after election results. A, it looks panicky, and B, things are never as good or as bad as they look on any given one day.
Michael White. Well, interest in today's elections has been electrified by London. The mayoral race boils down to a choice between this man...
I would be mad to try and persuade you that all London's success is down to the mayor. But people would be mad to suggest I haven't played a role in that and made the key decisions that were right.
And this man.
Well, I think anybody in my position facing a redoubtable adversary like Ken Livingstone would be completely mad to be confident at this stage. We are going to be fighting for every single vote right the way to the wire.
Well, completely mad, possibly. But the opinion polls have said conflicting things, some of them giving the Conservatives' Boris Johnson a clear lead over Ken Livingstone for Labour, others putting the candidates neck and neck. So we don't yet know what Londoners think.
I've traditionally voted Tory, but in this election I voted Green just because I don't agree with his environmental policies. And right now I think that's the most important thing we all need to be thinking about.
I like Boris. He's got a good personality, but I'm not sure he's going to be the best politician for London.
Whilst I don't always agree with necessarily what Ken Livingstone's, the way in which he goes about things, I genuinely feel that he's a detailed person. And, you know, unfortunately, you're never going to make everyone happy in London. But I think in terms of doing something for the greater good of the capital, I think Ken Livingstone's probably the best suited to do that.
One of the deciding factors of today's election will be whether or not there's a high turnout. A battle bus staffed by campaigners from Operation Black Vote will be touring some of the capital's inner city areas, urging black communities to make their voice heard. The group's director is Simon Woolley.
It's on a knife edge and every vote counts. So we're saying to the black community that in effect your vote could decide who has the keys to City Hall. So exercise your franchise, exercise your vote, and make a decisive choice.
Why is it that black people are less likely to vote than other people?
Well, it's less to do with apathy and more to do with frustration. When they look at the Greater London Assembly and see only two members from the black and minority ethnic communities, and there should be nearer seven or eight, and often feel that they're being neglected and being ignored. So it's a sense of frustration that says, why should we get involved? And we say, that's precisely why you should get involved. Moreover, as never before, there is a threat of far-right politics, the politics of race hatred, getting a foothold in London politics. And in the voting system, which of course is proportional representation on the Assembly, if we stay at home, if we put our sit on our hands, then we could wake up on Friday morning with the politics of hatred being elected almost by default.
In practical terms, what more could be done to get people out to the polling stations?
Well, we need representative parties. And we need to engage within communities to demonstrate that actually in London, that black and minority ethnic communities in effect hold the balance of power. People need to feel that they have power, that they can hold politicians to account. This has been a vitriolic political campaign between the main two candidates. Race has played center stage, more often than not, negatively so. And we need to bring it back positively by saying we'll stand up and be counted. We'll decide who has the keys to City Hall. And we demand to be a strong voice.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.